What's up, men of Harvest? It's always a pleasure to jump on this podcast sharing God's truth with you. This episode is actually our conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount found in Matthew's Gospel, chapters 5 and 7. And so in the study, we've been blessed to study one of Jesus' greatest sermons, one that our Lord frequently taught to his disciples and spectators who followed him during his earthly ministry. Some have even called it Jesus' Manifesto Sermon. And in many ways, these teachings were and still are radical for those who listen and do them, for they go against all earthly wisdom. They challenge the hearer and the disciple to model their life not according to the world or man's religion, but to the law of Christ. For the wisdom of the world says, hate your enemies and only love those who love you. The wisdom of religion says, judge and condemn those people with strictness so that they would praise you. Yet the Lord says something counterculture. For the kingdom of God brings a reversal effect. He says, love your enemies, judge with mercy, forgive because you have been forgiven. For from good treasure will good fruit produce. Jesus is not only teaching outward etiquette, but inward precepts of the heart by revealing the true purpose of the law of Moses, which is to love God and to live out the golden rule. And he says the golden rule in verse 13, chapter 7, whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. This brings us to our focus passage. As Jesus ends his sermon, he concludes with how to walk wisely as a kingdom disciple. Notice how Jesus seems to have the crowds and the religious leaders in mind when he speaks to his disciples about the kingdom of God. Because of this, his words then are both an invitation and a warning to those who are listening. The first is found in verse 13 and 14. Jesus says, the way through the gate of destruction is wide and easy, and many will enter. But the way through the gate that leads to life is narrow, and those who find it are few. This image gives us two gates with two paths to walk in this life. One is broad and the other is narrow. One is easy and the other is hard. If we thought about the Beatitudes as proverbial, which fits nicely into Jesus' Beatitudes, then we would come to the conclusion that one who's wise is not foolish, and how they walk this life out is by the Word of God. Jesus' warning is for the one who's wise not to walk in the path of the fool, which is comfortable, pleasing, and popular. Rather, he calls his disciples to walk in the way of wisdom, where the path may bring resistance, persecution, and even death. Remember what the Lord said at the beginning of the Beatitudes. He said, blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. What is realized here is the path comes after entering the gate. Jesus' own words tell us that we must enter the gate first in order to walk the path. If this is correct, then accepting Jesus' invitation to the kingdom is first needed, and what follows is the narrow path to eternal life. This is true of everyone who comes to faith in Jesus. As they enter the kingdom, they realize the path is not easy. It is not a road of least resistance, but the road less traveled. What does it mean to enter the narrow gate and walk the path of resistance? Well, for one, it means to walk in the way of Jesus, to listen to his teachings, to seek his kingdom and his righteousness, which means his rule, and to make him Lord over all. It means to walk the road less traveled. If this is true, and it is, then at times we must deny popular opinion, stand for Christian ethics when no one else will, and pick up our cross daily while living in a disturbing culture. Men, we must walk wisely as we lead our families and work hard at our jobs, for we are the salt and light amongst a degenerated dark world. Let us then walk worthy of the gospel. With that said, Jesus says, as we walk the hard path, we must watch out for false teachers. Again, our Lord uses metaphoric language to speak of what a wise disciple's life will be like. Here in verse 15 and 20, the disciple will not be arrogant and led astray by bad teaching. He says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. Now, this isn't necessarily speaking against people who mess up in their preaching or something wrong comes out of arrogance. We've all made mistakes through the years. More so, this is speaking of wolves in sheep's clothing, non-believers who have crept into the community to purposefully lead God's sheep astray in false doctrine. Jesus says you can tell who they are by listening to their teachings and examining their lives. For you will know them by their fruit. To live wisely means then to examine the leader's fruit. Biblically speaking, fruit is considered the whole makeup of a person. It reveals who they are, mind, body, heart, and soul. It is not just one bad apple or rotten fruit from the tree, it's the whole wellness of the tree. In today's world, there are many wolves in sheep's clothing, charming leaders who put on a good show, yet are leading many astray with their devilish doctrines. One of the greatest tricks of a wolf is manipulation. They have a way with words and can sway people into believing what they're saying is right. One example of this is within progressive Christianity. Liberal teachings have twisted the true meaning of Scripture to bring tolerance of sin into the churches. Mostly, we have seen this around conversations centered on homosexuality and immoral behaviors like transgenderism. The leaders and teachers of these churches usually have a low view of the Bible and will say things like this: take the Bible seriously, but not literally. This mentality has led them to celebrate gay marriages and immoral relationships by disregarding the authority of God's word. Not too long ago, I saw on IG a reel of a lady, and she was perhaps speaking at a church, and she said this. She said Paul was being a meanie and that we must rebuke him for some of his teachings in the New Testament. Although this is laughable, it has seriously led some to say we must follow Jesus and not Paul. These teachings have produced bad fruit and continue to deceive many. With that said, false teachers have led droves of people to falsely professing Jesus. Jesus continues to warn us of these consequences when he says this in chapter 7. Not everyone who calls to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. These words are perhaps the most terrifying words of Jesus. For how someone can confess Jesus as the Lord and do all these great things and still not be accepted in the kingdom is bewildering. Jesus literally says, "Depart from me, for I never knew you." Two things we must notice about this scenario. First, during Jesus' ministry, the word Lord did not carry the same significance as it will later and was used as a sign of respect. As things continue to progress, Jesus' usage of the word takes on a new form, identifying him as the Son of God, the true King of heaven. Knowing this, when the disciples say, "Lord, Lord, did we not?" they could mean that they properly kind of knew him, but didn't personally know him at all. Case in point, Judas was one of the 12, did tons of ministry with Jesus, and even cast out demons in his name, yet in the end, he did not truly know him as Lord and Savior. In the same way, there are many so-called Christians today sitting in churches doing lots of ministry and yet have never made a true confession of faith. So what makes for a true confession of faith? Jesus says, doing the will of the Father. Notice there are many good works being done by the false disciples. Still, they are missing something crucial. They lack a true heart of obedience. In a sense, they have not denied themselves, repented, and entrusted everything they are to Christ. They think doing good things for Jesus is enough to enter the kingdom. In Luke's gospel, Jesus says it this way, "Why do you call me Lord and not do what I say?" Friends, admiring Jesus is not enough. Halfway obedience is not being a true disciple of Jesus. Jesus calls his disciples to full-hearted surrender. The call to obedience comes to a life of repentance and faith. He says, "For everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who builds his house on the rock, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and doesn't do them will be like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall." Again, here Jesus is dividing the crowd by saying there are two types of people in this world: those who listen and obey God's word, and those who hear the word and reject its teachings. And Jesus makes it clear, mere lip service will not prove you are a true follower of Christ. Let us not be fooled here. We must not dismiss ourselves from this division. We must examine ourselves to know if our hearts are truly for the Lord and His kingdom. At this point of the text, we see it illustrated in the two houses being built. The difference between the houses is that one is built on a deep, firm foundation and the other has no foundation at all. See, so many times we pretend that we are building our lives on the foundation of God's word, yet we sit in sermons and Bible studies with our Bibles open, but we are not truly listening. Yet the Bible tells us that the Spirit of God is moving in the hearts of the hearer, making the blind see and the dead walk. Today, if you desire to follow Jesus, you must know what you're called to, where you are going, and who you are following. Jesus says to each of his disciples, "Deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow after me." This is a call to loving obedience, self-denial, and becoming a living sacrifice for his kingdom and glory. When we live in this way, no storm will ever break us, no trial will ever separate us from God's love. For those who are in Christ, when founded on his word, we will persevere to the end. And this is what Jesus calls wise kingdom living. As we conclude our time together, the question we must all ask ourselves is, will we hear Jesus' words and obey? Will we build our houses on the firm foundation of Christ and follow him fully? For those who are truly disciples, we answer both these questions with yes and amen. However, maybe you've never made Jesus your Lord and Savior. Well, you can do so in the quietness of your heart today, by turning from yourself, confessing your sin before the Lord, and believing that Jesus is the Son of God, who came into this world to rescue you from the road that leads to destruction, by conquering sin and death on the cross and rising bodily from the grave, that in him you would enter the narrow gate and walk the path that leads to everlasting life. If you have received Jesus' words today, you have made the wisest decision of your life. And to that response, we can give thanks to God. Well, brothers, again, thank you for tuning in to this week's podcast. And until next time, may the Lord strengthen you in your faith as you willingly obey and continue to walk the path least traveled. May his word dwell in you richly. Amen.